Dave Gentry, Elizabeth Hess on DWS. State Senator Scott Bennett joins us this morning. Scott, how are you?
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you with us this morning. Our palatial downtown studios. How you liking it?
I love it. It's my second time here, but every time seems like the first time. It's a really cool space. I'm impressed what you guys did.
Since we saw you last, you've been busy. You voted to protect Illinois college students from crushing college debt. Tell us about this Senate bill.
Yeah, so this is called the Student Loan Bill of Rights, and this was one where it passed in the spring. The governor vetoed it, and then we were able to, I believe, override it in the Senate. Really, all it does is say, hey, we recognize now kids are borrowing more than ever before. This is important because some statistics have suggested that people graduating today will spend a third of their income in the coming years on student debt, which means they're not going to buy houses, which you might be planning to sell to them someday. They're not going to be able to buy all the consumer things that we'd expect to drive our economy because they're putting it into things that they've already got, their old education. So all this is saying is, hey, when you borrow this huge amounts of money and the person sitting across the table is in their 20s and may not be very financially astute, you have to really make sure you explain all the choices to them. I was surprised the governor vetoed it in the first place, but it really is all it's trying to do is make sure there's some companies out there that are predatory and try to take advantage of young, naive kids, and this tries to remedy that.
Have you been keeping an eye on what's happening at the national level with the tax relief because it will affect higher ed?
Yes, there's no question. I mean, the idea that you would, one of the proposed changes, of course, is to tax some of the graduate student aid that they're getting right now. So they get free tuition, things like that. They would end up having to get taxed on that, which to me is pretty short-sighted because, again, to go back to statistics, someone with a college degree or with an advanced degree will make many times more money over their lifetime than someone without that. You're going to get your money on that end. You're going to be able to tax them the rest of their careers to go after such a small amount. And really what you're doing is shifting money around. You're basically saying we want to give breaks to the higher brackets. We got to pay for it somehow. Let's look at the lower brackets to pay for it. That seems to be a pretty strange way to balance the government's books.
Is that just kind of indicative of the fact that the governor has so much money, he's kind of out of touch with the idea that people would need to pay off student debt?
I think that it's easy pickings for a government group to go after college students or graduate students because they tend not to be as politically involved. For example, if you go have a bill that goes after seniors, you're going to know that a very large group of those seniors are going to vote. They're paying attention to what's happening. They're going to vote. That's not true with the younger generation. So it's pretty easy sometimes to go, well, where do we have to pay for this? Well, let's look to see where we can take it from college students or younger people because they're just not that involved, which is a lesson that they're going to have to learn as they go along.
Another chapter of voters who are very aware of what's happening are union members and other people that are affected by collective bargaining rights for Illinois voters, and you've been working to protect those bargaining rights. Tell us about your efforts.
Sure. You know, this is something that we get into discussions a lot about. Is Illinois a business-friendly state, and what does that even mean? If you look just across the state border at Indiana, they are not, they're considered a more business-friendly state, but that typically means is their workers work for less, and there's a thing called right to work where basically you can strip some union rights away from people if there's not government protections to stop that. So that was one of the bills they looked at. The governor, when he first came in, said, okay, fine. What if we just have every municipality, every county to choose whether they want to be right to work or not? Which to me seemed a little crazy because collective bargaining has always been a state issue. A big project like Kronos or something else that's coming in, they're going to be affected by workers from many different counties, many different areas. To have a patchwork where you have some cities that do abide by certain labor laws and certain ones that don't seems like a real disaster. And so when you have companies coming in from other countries and other states, that is my fear is you'd see them go, that's too complicated. I'm not doing the paperwork. I'll do it somewhere else. So collective bargaining has always been a state issue. I don't see that changing in Springfield, and I think that's part of the reason that I think that they couldn't override the governor's veto in the House, but they did in the Senate.
Is it a bipartisan issue, or
it is a bipartisan? I mean, there were plenty of Republicans that voted to override the governor's veto on that. I don't think when you're talking about labor and working people, I mean, it doesn't have to be a Republican or Democrat thing. I think most of us have friends that are just trying to make a living and working hard. And certainly the argument goes that the more, you know, particularly in unions, you're talking about people who've done their craft for a long time, the quality of their work is better. They should get paid a little more for that. And again, to go back to the economy, them buying houses and cars and all those things are what help us drive our economy. So we want to make sure those workers are out there paying into that.
Nice pun, by the way. Buy cars, drive the economy. I don't know if you even realized you did that. Unintended. The Illinois Senate voted to override the governor's veto of the Debt Transparency Act. This didn't pass, or where are we with this? Because it would be nice to see where we are with up-to-date reports of the state's financial picture.
This is a great example of how things have changed in Springfield, because the first 2 years the governor was in, you almost saw no vetoes being overridden. It was everything became a party-led vote. What's the governor plant his flag somewhere on a bill? The transparency bill, all it does is recognize that we need to know how much of the taxpayer dollars we owe to people, right? And there's certainly lots of ways you can play with the numbers. And this wasn't something just this governor's done. Other governors' administrations have been accused of doing this as well, where, for example, say you've got a big announcement coming up and you want to pretend that we don't owe as much money as we do. You hold those bills until after the announcement, and then you go ahead and release them. And where the taxpayers thought we were $9 billion behind, now we're 12. That's ridiculous. And since we have to pay 12% interest on all the bills that we have, we want to know about them, and we want to pay them as quickly as we can. So all this bill did is say, look, every 30 days, I believe it was, every state agency has to publish the list of what bills they owe. You can't hide them. This, again, is not partisan. And when it was overridden in the House, every single Republican voted for it to override. So it wasn't like we got one or two. It was just one of those things that says, look, this just makes sense. We need transparency in government. Frankly, it's pretty questionable why the governor vetoed it in the first place. But what's clear is simply his word to say, I'm against this, isn't enough anymore. People are voting, you know, with their districts.
Senator, in the past 2 years, the state's bill backlog has nearly tripled. And that is why it's more urgent that lawmakers receive timely reporting of the consequences of not having a budget. So this is something that's even a question?
I'll tell you why I think it's a question. There was a bill that Treasurer Frerichs put forward that simply said that life insurance companies have to look back to the year 2000, which they certainly can. They can't not pay, you know, when you'd have like a parent that would die, their kids would never know about insurance policy, and the insurance company would keep the money and get the interest on it and keep the money. And then you'd have an orphan out there without getting the insurance policy that the parents had paid into. That's nuts. And again, that was easily overridden after the governor vetoed that bill that simply said, hey, insurance companies, you've got the technology to do this. You can press a button on a computer. You can look back, say even 10, 15 years to see who's passed away that you have not given the money out for yet. And the question is, well, why is the governor against this? The only reason I can think of is that Treasurer Frerichs has an election this year, and that was his bill. The first bill you talked about, the transparency, that was the comptroller's bill, Suzanne Mendoza. So part of it is, I think, not wanting to give people on the other side of the aisle some kind of a legislative win. But, you know, it's one of those things that what's clear when the legislator overrode the governor's veto is, you know, pick your spots, governor. Don't pick good government bills to make a political point. And I think he looked bad doing that.
Did Treasurer Frerichs, is he allowed to propose bills? And how does that work in the legislative process?
I'll tell you what, there, time and again, since Mike Frerichs has been our state treasurer, I've heard people in the legislature go, wait, you could do that? I mean, there was a thing where Wells Fargo did some pretty questionable tactics with their lenders, and suddenly Illinois stopped doing business with Wells Fargo. And that was a decision that Treasurer Frerichs could make. And pretty quickly you saw people, you know, they shuffled people around and Wells Fargo tried to make it right. And but, you know, when one consumer says, hey, you know, we have a problem with what this bank is doing, they don't really have to listen. When the state of Illinois, I mean, you know, one of the top five economies in the country says that, that's a different thing. And so what you've seen with Treasurer Frerichs is using his office not just to say, well, we're going to do investments, but also to kind of push the state in ways that I think are helpful. One of the Ag Invest program has been really helpful to people in our area. It's a way to, you know, how do farmers who are depending more and more on loans and things are more expensive. I've seen him like, I'm going to put more investment in that. And so the question is like, can the treasurer do this? But he's doing it, and it's, you know, for a lot of good use. So I'm impressed with what he's done with the office.
And you're back to Springfield this week?
You know, no. We were out for a little while, so rest assured we can't do anything bad. And
that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think people always feel, you always see people exhale a little bit. I said, we're out for the holidays. We'll go back in January and start the session then. We have plenty to do here in the district. You know, I'm taking lots of meetings. I'm writing all the bills that we want to work on for the spring. And we have, you know, plenty of things in the community that need to be addressed. But we won't be there to pass new laws until January.
Okay.
All right. Scott, thanks for your time this morning. We appreciate it.
Always glad to be here. Thanks,
Thank
guys.
Thank you, Senator. All right.
We got more coming up on News Talk 4.